afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
That static you're hearing, Jennifer, is the headphone connector.
Got it.
Our equipment's falling apart. Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We're back. If you'd like to join us, you can find us on Ustream right now live. Of course, if you're listening to this, you're thinking like, well, it's not live. I can't do that. Hopefully you're not thinking it like that. That's just the voices in my head that talk like mopey Looney Tunes characters. we do have some people joining us live. I want to thank everyone for joining us there. Let's see, we have 26 people, which is pretty cool. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we say tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can find the website at gleefulpodcast.com and on Twitter and Facebook. How you doing, Jennifer?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good, Ed.
I'm doing okay.
Things are good in Edland?
I mean, it's Wednesday, aka my weekend. So you know.
That was your tweet this morning. I forget that Wednesday is not the weekend for everyone.
because it's the day that I put zero availability at work, and I work every weekend. So Wednesday is literally my weekend. Like it literally is.
Well, that's pretty funny. I understand those points. I used to work nights, and so at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'd be like, God, I want to talk to someone. Oh, wait, I'm the only one awake.
I probably would have been awake.
Yes, honestly. If we were friends, Ed, I would have called you. But
actually, not lately. I've been going to bed at like midnight to 8 a.m. It's been crazy. I'm like, What is wrong with me?
Dude, you're
dying?
Like an old married man.
Like, not yet.
That's how I sleep.
It's true.
Well, we have a ton of stuff to talk about tonight, so I think we're going to dive.
A ton?
We do, actually.
We have a lot, but a ton.
Well, but compared to like last week.
A ton is like 2,000 pounds of talking.
We have 2,000 pounds of talking to talk about tonight. We do, because, you know, there are weeks when we have to stretch it, but this week we've got some really exciting stuff. They added 7 new writers to Glee, so we'll discuss those. We have the Glee Project, which continued for a second week, and we'll get Ed's opinions
on that.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that topic.
But awesome. most importantly, we're going to have everybody's top 5 songs of season 2 to discuss. We put it out to the listeners, and I compiled a giant list that I'll tell you all about in a minute, so it's pretty super cool.
Are you going to give our contact information?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Oh, I already gave the contact information.
Oh, did I miss it?
I did, right at the top.
I thought this was still the top.
Well, it is technically still the top. I think we're technically still in the intro.
We haven't hit bottom yet.
Jennifer, how you doing tonight? Ed, things couldn't... Yeah. Yes, the big news in the Gleeverse this week is that new writers have been added to the writing team in Glee. It's funny, between seasons 1 and 2, while they were actually in the process of writing the initial episodes of season 2, I saw a panel at the Writers Guild with Brad, Ryan, and Ian, just the 3 of them, which was kind of unique. It was fun to see. And in that panel, Ryan had said, we are going to add new writers for the second half of season 2, which apparently they never did. Brad, Ryan, and Ian went on to write every episode of season 2 and direct, I think, more than half of them, which is actually an interesting conversation we could have sometime. I was doing some research on the directors that have directed episodes of Glee, including like Eric Stoltz, the actor.
Yes.
And Timothy Donovan. Is that right? I don't remember. Another actor.
Yes.
That you would recognize.
Yes.
But anyway, so we'll have to talk about that at some point. But yes, they have added new writers, including
Martin Donovan.
That sounds right.
Okay.
I think Martin Donovan.
Okay.
Anyway, but yes, they have added new writers. Most notably, I know for in fandom, is they have added Marty Noxon as a writer, who was previously a writer on Buffy and Angel.
Ooh.
And, I think there is a lot of play between the Whedonverse and the Gleeverse. I think there's a lot of, jumps there. I know people in the chat room had been saying it would be great to see some of the female writers, particularly people that have written on shows like Buffy, bring some realism and some depth to the female characters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have that problem, Jennifer, watching the show? Do you ever think the female characters are a bit light?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly toward the end... the certain resolutions in the prom episode, certain resolutions in the New York episode, and there were quite a few times at the end of these episodes I'm like, there's no way. I've known girlfriends in high school, girlfriends in college.
You've known girls.
I've known girls. And they're not always sane and rational and as easygoing as some of these characters, ultimately are at the end of each episode. So, I mean, most notably is Quinn. There's no way.
Yeah, you think that a woman would write a character like Quinn with a little more subtlety?
A little more honesty, I think, yes.
Well, we also have Michael Hitchcock being added to the group. Michael Hitchcock, ooh, who I adore, actually met him once. He was incredibly nice. He's kind of, professionally, he gets most of his money, I believe, as a writer, but he's best known as an actor, particularly in the Christopher Guest improv movies. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those people that if you saw him, you'd immediately recognize him. He actually appeared in an episode of Glee very early on. I'm trying to remember what he did, but he has actually appeared in the show before. And he comes, as far as writing, from a background more of sketch comedy. He's most well known as like a Mad TV writer. So it'd be interesting to see what that kind of, those short bursts of comedy are brought to the show from that. And then Allison Adler, whose credits include Chuck and No Ordinary Family. There's a lot of new faces that are going to be coming in. Do you guys have any opinions on the new faces? Do you think it'll improve? Do you think it's a good sign, Ed?
I think, especially with writing, that more people involved is usually better.
That's totally fair. I mean, I think that's true.
I mean,
on a TV show,
just because. Unlike a movie where you just have to kind of get a couple emotions out there, with the TV show, every week you have to be delivering the same set of emotions in a completely new way, and it's for 22 times a year. That's a lot for one person. So unless you're going to do something like Downton Abbey where you spend like years writing the script with one person, it might be, and if since they're on such a time crunch, it might be best just to have more people.
Which show is that, Ed?
Downton Abbey, which is amazing.
Oh, it's a British show. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, British shows are usually written entirely by one person.
But it was only 7 episodes, though.
Exactly. So there's only 7 episodes, and they write all of the episodes before they ever start filming, where American TV shows, they're writing and filming at such a pace. I don't know that it's even healthy for one person to be doing it all, let alone 3. There have been success stories in that, but I do think that Glee kind of proved this year that they need some fresh voices in the room to bring new perspectives and to kind of come up, and say like, hey, let's run with this over here. Let's bring it back to that. Just some new perspectives.
I feel like the 3 of them, right? I mean, they're Ryan, Brad, Ian, they're all awesome and all, but sometimes, especially in season 2, I felt like they were like got stuck on an idea and they're like, we're gonna go for it. They put their blinders on and they just went for it, which is good some of the time, but it's also good to be like, is this really the best thing to do? Like, there needs to be that voice.
Yeah, and I think also because the cast is so big and so diverse, I think having more than just 3 people being the voice of 20 people is a much better idea too. So I mean, I'm hopeful.
Yeah,
I know you guys are really into the writers and follow that stuff and how it works on other shows too. But I mean, to me, I mean, I've always been, very happy, pretty happy with the stuff. And, certainly this season, I've been able to point out, some of my disappointment. But again, because season 1 was just so incredible. But so I'm hopeful that frees them up to work on other stuff, maybe just more of like the long-term story arcs and just kind of keep it going in the right direction.
Yeah, I hope that it'll allow them to do more like long-term is the word, to have more long-term plans, because mm-hmm. season 2 felt very short-sighted.
It felt very reactionary.
And I wonder if like getting more bodies into the room and more brains working on each plot line, that I would like to think that it'll bring it'll allow them to get more done. I think that would be really cool. I just sent Ed over a link
I'm in shock right now.
Are you looking at the spreadsheet?
No, I sent him a link to, there is now gleefulpodcastfans.tumblr.com that you can check out. It is super cool. When did I become a 14-year-old girl? It's super cool. But I'll go ahead and send that over for the chat room. One of our listeners put this together, and it's really amazing. We have another Glee fan site that I don't want to forget, which you can find if you go to our Twitter page. They've both gotten mentioned there. And it's incredibly nice that people do this, but I wanted to call out some special attention for this person just because they just put it up. And they have quotes for that I don't even remember saying.
Forum trolls do not control us, Ed.
Yes, exactly.
It's so true. Awesome. I totally said that, and it's so true.
There's a cut. Yeah, there's just some great. Ed has another great quote on here. There are only two options I see for Mr. Schuster, neither of which involve Emma. A, bring Terry back, or B, get rid of Mr. Schuster. And then all of my quotes, as in life, are
serious. Your quotes are super long, Josh, for real.
Well, there is. I do have one about.
He's all wordy and stuff.
I have one about Darren Criss on here. Where it says, I understand what all the fangirls are crazy about because that dude is adorable. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's true.
So I wanted to definitely say a big thank you to that fan. Whoever you are, you should put your name on here. Like, put your name at the top.
It's a site by I Love Blaine. What about the thing that says it on the side?
Oh, there it is. It says I Love Blaine. Well, there you go. Well, that's an entirely different Tumblr, an I Love Blaine Tumblr. So,
well, but it's. It's that person.
Ah, there
it's
we go. I was looking for like a Joe or a
Jackie. Love Blaine Smith.
There you go. So thank you very much, I Love Blaine Smith. It's incredibly flattering. There's some random things kind of coming up in Glee News right now. Zach Woodley, the choreographer, did an interview with the Huffington Post where he just told stories about when the performers hurt themselves during dance numbers.
Oh, wow.
It was not... particularly, I mean, I was kind of like, I've heard all these stories before, but it was just kind of a random story. Okay. There's also a story over at the Deadline or at deadline.com where the costumer talks about costuming the show, and you can check it out there. And it's kind of a fun story. I guess they costumed the entire finale in one day, which is kind of wild.
Wow.
Yes, and Emmy nominated for Glee. But, you know, the main thing that happened that I think everyone was paying attention to was this. Is the cast of the Glee Project minus Bryce, who was eliminated last week, performing We're Not Gonna Take It from episode 2 of the Glee Project. And this show continues, and it was an interesting week. Now, Ed, this was your first jaunt into the Glee Project this week, correct?
I saw both episodes. Whoa, today.
That was loud.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I think that was me. I apologize. So you saw both episodes today. What is your read on the Glee Project as an aficionado of reality performance shows?
Okay, as an aficionado of reality television shows that are based on like musicals and such, I'm going to say the biggest issue I have is that when they do the confessional booth, it's too tight, it's too bright, there's too much color, and it's too centered. all four of those things have make me angry every time they go into confessional. I'm like, oh my God. Back away, scoot to the left, change the background, and dim the lights.
No, but how about the format of the show, like the actual show itself?
The format of the show is okay. I think it's smart for what they're trying to achieve, but I can honestly say with 100% certainty that these are not the 12 most talented people that they had audition. Not that I know anyone personally who auditioned and there got farther, but just because I know the caliber of people that they had, and they already talked about how in season three they had intended on having a whole new cast, or I mean season four rather, right, to have a whole new cast because of the graduation thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am with very little certainty positive that that Ryan Murphy chose people that were completely who he would want on the show, and that these 12 people weren't the people who were definites, and those people have already gotten on the show, and then these people are like, oh, well, we're on the fence about you. I kind of see potential, but none of you are there yet. And that's these 12 people on this show.
Like, so your thinking is he already poached all the people that he wants on the show, and these are like the second tier that are good for the reality show.
Correct. That is
interesting.
Definitely, because I know for sure there were better people. Just from like listening and gauging people and talking to some people, I'm like, no, there were better people. No, these 12 people are totally second tier. Like this, like, oh, well, one of them deserves a chance, but not all of them.
Interesting. So
and my favorite has totally switched since, now that I've actually seen the show, Damon is like the bottom of my heap. And since episode one, I'm really good with I'm really good with editing and catching out dark horses on these type of shows.
Uh-huh.
And I am clearly seeing a Cameron Lindsay final three. I'm not sure who the third one is, but both have the subtle hue. Like it's in episode one, I totally saw a little bit, and in episode two, I was like, oh, verified. So
I don't think anyone would argue with you on that. Honestly, I think anybody that's watching this show sees Cameron and Lindsay being, if not the top two, definitely in the top three. I would be surprised not to see them in the top two. Honestly, I think that they're both the most, they're just the most right for the show. What's funny though is, like last week I had said my favorite was Lindsay. I thought she was going to be like, she was the one that didn't get as much screen time in episode one, but really seemed to be like, oh, she could be amazing and she's adorable and she's got the great voice. But in season two, I was like, she is episode two. Thank you. In episode two, she is a real living Rachel Berry. And she reminds us why those characters are fun in fiction, but freaking annoying in real life.
I wasn't annoyed by her.
Oh, I wanted to punch her in the head.
And I understand why people hated on Ellis, because I remember reading people like, I hate Ellis. I understand that. But the biggest thing I have out of this is that I feel that Bryce's elimination was completely unjustified.
Yeah,
completely.
Totally. Agreed. Well, Ryan Murphy said that. He did an interview I read this afternoon that he said he eliminated the wrong person that week.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, because he has such a unique voice, and you know, just because he was trying to,
I really don't feel like his attitude, like the things that he was cited for attitude, I think he was legit on his heartbreaker stance that he wanted another female to come in, not just him leaving.
Exactly,
that was legit, and the fact that he was concerned that just the way you are, he was too high, was legit too.
Yeah.
Like his two attitude complaints, I'm air bunnying right now. Attitude complaints,
air bunnying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, like, he was asserting himself because they kept saying, you know, like, you're this character, so you need to be this character. And so, yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. And
yeah.
I was really surprised that he went. And, I mean, I guess I was a little surprised about this week's elimination, too. But just because, you know, the amount of screen time. But now I'm, like, looking at the whole list, it's like, I never remember Marissa's name, but they never talk about her. Like the first two
Marissa
episodes,
never gets mentioned.
They're like, you're great, move on.
Yeah.
And well, so they never really talk about her.
I understand that though, because when Marissa turns sideways, she does disappear. Mm-hmm. And so you could imagine that you're only seeing her half the time. And nothing?
Yeah,
no?
Whatever.
She's not that small. Calm down, Josh.
No, she's like, she's crazy skinny. like uncomfortably skinny. But anyway, I think that Cameron is, I feel like, yeah, Cameron and Lindsay are totally handpicked for this to go through. Like, the big voices people are going to get tired of. Like, Damien's funny when he's doing, like, when he's air humping like during Damien the Gaga song.
Less, but I felt like Damien has less potential than Ellis did.
Yeah, that, I agree.
Like, right now, Damien's my 12th placer, for real. Like, without question, which is ironic, of course.
I kind of feel bad, but, I mean, he's so cute, and I love the accent and everything, but he doesn't... When he's performing, he's just the same thing over and over again. Like, he smiles and maybe winks and, yeah, does seductive moves. But, you know, like, he doesn't bring anything else to the character or himself. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's just not right for this type of music. He's like, I think he has a very specific style. And he just, seeing Damien trying to be young, like, he's just not
or
young.
Sexy.
Yeah,
well, Damien's like total boy band. That's how he's talented, good, but doesn't have that edge to actually stand out. He's perfectly capable of being anonymous boy band member number three. Like, it's perfect.
Well, I do think it'll be interesting to see what happens next week. I do know what they're performing next week, but I don't want to ruin it for anybody.
Didn't they show it at the end of? Oh,
but they showed
the
theme.
That was the homework. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
What was the theme?
The theme next week is.
Or the homework was.
I think the homework was pink.
Pink. Okay.
And I think the theme is like depth or something like that.
I don't know if you had this issue that I had, but I was just getting so frustrating with the poor editing. Honestly, that's how I feel about it. I couldn't sit through more than 10 minutes at a time. I just kept getting angry. I'm just like, I'm just walking away now.
I guess I don't watch enough of these shows to even notice or let it bother me. But
I don't know.
I've just come to expect it.
I don't know. I mean, it is very different than the other shows that I have seen.
It is different, but is different necessarily better?
No.
Different is what it is. Different is different, but I don't know. I feel like I've seen enough of these shows that I'm just like, please don't do it like this, please.
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely see what happens next week, but for now, let's move on a little bit and let's talk about this.
I took my love and I took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills where the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing
That is, of course, Landslide, performed by Gwyneth Paltrow.
Landslide.
And, we're playing that now because that is Ed's number six song
for
season.
You're not going to give me the chance to do 25?
Well, I am in just a second. That is Ed's number six song for his favorites of season two. We asked everybody to send in their top five songs for season two. And let me tell you, we got an overwhelming response. And so many ties, like, it's like, come on, like, make a decision, tie, make it, pick your five.
Oh, I thought you mean like I picked the same number one. Yeah.
There were so many people that were like, number one is a five-way tie between Everything the Warblers Did. I'm like, that's not a choice, come on. Work with me here. But I actually took all of the listeners' top fives and I put them in a spreadsheet that maybe I'll put on the website. With everybody's, they're all in a spreadsheet, and I assigned points. So if the song was your number one of five, then it got 5 points. Number two of five got 4 points, and so on, and added up all the points. So we will get a global top five for the listeners of the Gleeful Podcast.
Wow.
It's super cool. I'm crazy excited. But we're going to start with our top fives real quick. And Ed, you actually had a full top 25. Is that correct?
That is correct. I started, like, I went through, as Josh knows, as I sent him every email along the way.
You did. It was like ranking. He's like, okay, I'm eliminating it down to 100. Okay, I'm eliminating it down to 50. And just kept getting
smaller. It was pretty insane. I went through every episode and I plucked out anyone that I felt had any potential to be a top. Like, it was like, at that point, I wasn't interested in choosing the best one of the best, but just the better ones. I'm like, okay, just go through, find the better ones. And then from there, like, start putting them into different categories, like game changers, interesting, unique, and then just like good, better than good. And then I worked through there, and it was long and complicated. But with all that being said, number 25, I have Mercedes Jones, Ain't No Way, which that one. 25th spot was one of the most difficult because I really want to put a lot of songs, but I felt not having Mercedes Jones solo would be a travesty, so I let her have it. So, and then number 24, New Directions, Sing. One of my more favorite group numbers. And then Artie Abrams, Isn't She Lovely. Artie, this had some storyline continuity, and that's what made it stand out more so than others. And then Santana Lopez and Mercedes Jones from the duet episode, River Deep Mountain High. 21, Brittany S. Pierce, in one of her better moments of Toxic, because it was a original-ish, at the beginning especially, it changed it up. It changed it up from the original and brought it to a new place. Number 20, Time Warp, which just because it was fun. 19, the winners of the duet competition, Sam Evans and Quinn Fabre, Lucky. 18, my favorite duet of the season, the Rachel Berry Blaine, Don't You Want Me Baby. It's just so fun to listen to. 17, Thriller / Off With Your Heads, legit, because Thriller's awesome. Number 16, Trouty Mouth. I almost had my cup in there, but it didn't make the list. And number 15, I have New Directions, I Love New York, New York, New York. One of the best number, in my opinion, from the New York episode. It was just so much fun. And if, as we discussed before, if they would have started the New York episode with that scene, man, that would be fierce. Number 14, Sunshine's episode from the first... Sunshine's performance from the first episode of the season, What I Did for Love. Originally, I had this as a top five, but I kept pushing it down until it ended up being 14. 13, Blaine and the Warblers, When I Get You Alone. One of their funnest numbers, one of their most left of choice songs, and that's what made it so great. 12, Rachel Berry and Jesse St. James, Rolling in the Deep. Awesome duet. Sam Evans and New Direction Males, Billionaire, introducing Sam's character, so it had relevance, and it was a relevant song. So it, like, contemporary wise, New Direction, Loser Like Me. I've been back and forth on how Dr. Luke made this kind of sound like My Love, He's Stuck Without You, Party in the USA, but Loser Like Me is a strong song. Number 9, Blaine and the Warblers, Teenage Dream. It had to be on here because it is, to my knowledge, the best selling song on iTunes from Glee, so it's legit. Number 8, New Directions, Empire State of Mind. There's a lot of songs from the first episode, but that song set the tone for the season. Too bad the tone wasn't kept up. Like, it should have been kept up to that level, but it didn't actually meet that level. And then number 7, I have Holly Holiday and New Directions, Forget You, because that song has so much passion, and it's fun. Okay.
So and we opened up with Landslide there, so why was Landslide at your number 6?
Number 6, because it had storyline relevance, and that's what all my top songs did. I tried to make sure that when I chose the top, especially, that it had storyline relevance, and it was obviously the relationship of Santana and Brittany. So
that's a good point. Everybody drink. I think everybody kind of came to their top five slightly differently. And I think it was fun to look at people's top fives, look at the listeners' top fives and kind of see, you know, you could kind of see an angle, like some people really preferred the musical theater stuff. Some people really preferred the, you know, more story relevant moments. Some people, their entire justification for their top five would be just a straight up, I liked, or this song reminds me of when I was in high school or something like that, you know, where it was like a personal relevance. So it was kind of an interesting, interesting to see how everybody came to their top five. I think that was Ed's number six at Landslide. Jennifer, your number five was this song. You say, Ed?
I was going to say, doesn't Jen have a top 10 or did I make that up?
Oh, do you want to read your top 10?
Well, I could just quickly go through. And Ed, I was doing the same thing as you did. I was like, okay, like I was picking out all the songs. I'm like, oh, this was fun. I remember this one. And then when it came down to actually committing to the ones that, you know, or, you know, saying, yeah, you're my top five, I had to come down to the emotional connection, like whether it be in the story or how it affected me in the moment. So some of them are probably a little off in order. I can't be that, unless I rewatch them all, but
yeah, seriously.
So I'm like, I've got my, you know, my 10 to 6, which I'm pretty sure actually one of them should be in the 5, and I'm pretty sure one of my 5 should be in the 10 to 6. But in a nutshell, 10, Rolling in the Deep, Rachel Berry, Jesse St. James. I mean, I still, that whole scene with him walking in and them seeing each other and singing at each other, I thought that was really great. I Want to Hold Your Hand. When Kurt was singing that, he was talking about his dad, dad, and I just remember bawling. And it was just such a pretty version of that song. So I like that. Number 8, I had Songbird by Santana Lopez, and that's the one that she sang to Britney alone. And again, just not only an incredibly moving moment, but just a stunning performance. And then I had Loser Like Me because that was just, it had been, I think, so long since we'd seen a group number that
big group number
got me going. So I really like that. And number 6, I had Take Me or Leave Me. And now I'm kind of wondering, I mean, I really enjoyed it. And I think more, probably it was just more of a shock value even. So again,
who's saying that?
Rachel and Mercedes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Jennifer, your number 5 was another big group number, which is My Computer is currently pulling up now. Computer,
because we didn't have a lot of those like big unifying group numbers. Yeah, and this one, well, plus the song is great.
Yeah.
Happiness hit her like a train on a track, coming towards her, stuck still, no turning back. She hid around corners and she hid under beds. She killed it with kisses.
Yeah, this was probably my number 6, I would say.
Okay.
I think it was one of the moments in season 2 that really reminded us why the heck we do this. Mm. Those big gleeful moments that are just there because there for the sense of joy.
Yeah.
And this was a big number. Dog Days Are Over, no doubt.
Yeah.
So I would say my number 5 was a pretty big, mine was a big, my number 5 was also a big hit with the listeners. It was on their list, one of the top songs on their list, and it was Thriller Heads Will Roll.
Nice.
I think for me, I picked my number five kind of based on the songs and numbers that I couldn't get out of my head. Like, there were some songs that would just get stuck in my head forever. But then there were some songs where, while it was stuck in my head, I was seeing the number over and over again. And I think that was kind of the magic for me this season. One of the things we talked a lot about, you and I, Jennifer, is that as weak as we felt the plots and the writing were this season, the songs were amazing.
Yeah.
And it was like, going through this list, it was, oh my gosh, we did have a lot of fun this season.
Yeah.
And we just kind of got bogged down in some other things. So this was actually a really fun thing to do, to go back to the music and be like, you know what, we had a lot of fun watching this stuff. So here's a Thriller Heads Will Roll. Now, Ed, your number five is also from the Fleetwood Mac episode.
Yes, from the Rumors. Yeah, Songbird by Santana. What I want to say about Dog Days, I think that might have been my top 75, but I quickly threw it out because I think I'm still angry about the mandolins. Like, I'm still angry about the mandolins. Like, I haven't forgotten.
Well, do you want to tell us a little about Songbird?
Songbird, this was Santana's, one of her biggest moments, even though she had like three on my top 10, so I don't know if that's really that relative. but this was a big moment, and considering we're investing so much time into this storyline, which was more interesting than Kurt's at the time anyways, and this was a culmination of that. So it was like, finally, stuff is happening. So
interesting.
That's what happened.
Well, let's take a listen to Songbird. This is with Naya Rivera on lead.
And I feel that when I'm with you, it's all right. I know it's right to you, I'll give the world. To you, I'll never be cold. 'Cause I feel that when I'm with you, it's all right. I know it's right.
Jennifer, do you want to tell us a little about your number four song?
Yeah.
As you look it up.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, I definitely do.
I had to click back over. You could tell I was anxiously waiting to do this. I picked Just the Way You Are with Finn and the New Direction kids, just because it was the wedding episode was just so much fun, and it was just such a good, happy time for everybody, and I really liked that song.
I mean, arguably the best episode of the season. It certainly in my top five episodes of the entire season. It was interesting, the listeners in their top fives, often it felt like they had to choose between Just the Way You Are and Marry You.
Yeah.
Like you almost couldn't have both on the list. I know I had the exact same question, and I wanted to put them both at the same spot.
I was hoping they were listed together, but they weren't.
But yeah, they're actually two different songs that they felt very related. Both by Bruno Mars. This is a bit of a... my computer just went to sleep.
Wah, wah. Well, I mean, and it was just so much fun. Like, this is one that, you know, I'd heard the song, but... When you hear it and you're watching it and they're all just, you know, just beaming and so happy, it was just such a great moment. So
it was similar to Dog Days. It was just one of those great moments where I love the moments where you start to cry from happiness.
Yeah.
And that was one of these.
Yeah, you're just smiling so hard.
Yeah. There's Just the Way You Are.
Her hair falls perfectly without her dress.
to think that she don't see what I see. But every time she asks me, do I look okay? I say, when I see your face, there's not.
So my number four song has gotten discussed on this show quite a bit, because as I've said many times before, it is the song that I hate how much I love. I wanted to have a big Rachel number. I think one of the things that I was always looking for in this season was the big Rachel numbers. They didn't feel to connect with me as well as the season one Rachel numbers. And, you know, Rachel is my number two favorite character. So without a little Rachel on the list, it didn't seem right. And I just kept coming back to, like, as soon as the freaking strings kick in the hook, I get goosebumps every 100% of the time when those strings kick in. There's like something magical happens. So I've got Firework for by Lea Michele.
Let it shine just on the night, like the
Now, Ed, we're going to skip your number four because it's going to come up in just a little bit as someone else's on someone else's list a little higher. But would you like to share with us your number three?
Okay. My number three, Santana and New Directions, Valerie. Now, the issue I would have with Firework is that I feel that it's karaoke. And so the same could be said for Santana with Valerie. But since the American audience isn't too keen on the Mark Ronson Amy Winehouse collab, it didn't, like, I knew about it, I've known about it for years, but that's what changed it. Like, everyone knows Katy Perry Firework, and Rachel Berry's a better singer than Katy Perry, but it still felt karaoke because he didn't take it anywhere.
True.
Where Santana really didn't try to take it anywhere from Amy Winehouse's version, it isn't like massively played on the radio, and that's what takes it away from being karaoke.
You know, I actually have Valerie at number three as well. And it kind of falls. I totally get your point. And it's funny that both Valerie and Firework are in my top five, where one of my biggest complaints on this show are often, you know, the karaoke nature of things. But there's a different flair that I think that Lea Michele brings to the song. I mean, obviously, she's a much more capable singer. And I think that she brings a certain vulnerability to it that Katy Perry doesn't as much. And in the case of Valerie, I do think that it's in a slightly different direction. I feel that
well, it's a slightly different direction. If nothing else, that Santana's tone is similar to Amy's, but isn't Amy's, and therefore, it has to be a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Naya Rivera is a different singer, and she doesn't have the 12-pack a day growl, but in its place, she has a certain kind of poppy soulness that. Amy Winehouse doesn't have. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a valid song in its own right. And I saw videos of them performing it at the tour, and it just stayed in my head for 3 weeks. And this number, I mean, this was the big number with the dancing, right? This was when they were like, we're going to let Britney and Mike do their thing.
When Vocal Adrenaline brought out Rehab and Mercy, this was the energy that they were bringing, and then New Directions mimicked it with Valerie.
True.
So,
well, see, now I want to demote it off my top five, Ed. You're making me change my mind.
Why would you demote it? No, that's why it's good.
Let's listen to Valerie here a bit with Naya Rivera.
your house out up for sale? Did you get a good lawyer?
Now, I don't know that we need to, I don't know that I need to continue defending this version, but it is also a much more layered version. I mean, Mark Ronson is really known for his stripped down and simplicity, which makes, you know, makes his things great. And this definitely has, you know, the larger choir and the, there's no Dap King's signature on this one, but, you know, it has its own place. Jennifer, do you want to give us your number three?
Sure. And now I'm not even sure why it stayed in this spot, but it is. It's an incredible performance on its own. But I had River Deep Mountain High with Santana and Mercedes.
And would you like to tell us why?
I just did.
This was memorable. This was crazy memorable.
It was. I mean, and I love the mix of their voices together. You know, we got a little bit of it last season. Definitely getting more of Naya this season, and she's amazing. And the two of them together, I think, are really, really a great mix. And yeah, it was just one of those ones that, you know, as I was skimming through all the songs, I'm like, wow, okay. Yeah, I remember being, you know, kind of blown away by this.
Yeah. Well, here's a bit of River Deep Mountain High. This was on a lot of listener lists as well, definitely. Yeah. Which brings us to number two on our list. My number two was Marry You. This was one that I just could not get out of my head for after hearing it. I love that everybody's on it. Mm. The moment in the show was just so sweet and fantastic. And I don't know, there was just something, there was a magic in this one that I mean, even my number one, I don't know if it had, didn't have the same magic as this one. So and Marry You was not a song I knew before the show. And so it really, you know, made me go search out, you know, everything that Bruno Mars had recorded. And I realized I really prefer all of the Glee Cast versions to Bruno Mars. Like I feel everyone does Bruno Mars songs better than Bruno Mars does. And this was just a really memorable one for me. Now, Ed, you had this at number four. Do you want to tell us why you had put it there?
Oh, I put it there because it was magical. It was storyline relevant, and that was it. It was pure joy, and in a way that was more that I felt apparently was more relevant to the storyline than Dog Days Are Over, which I threw away, and the other one that you discussed that you were like, oh, I chose this one because it had joy. So I. Yeah, that's my feelings on it, and I still feel like this is the original. Like, this is the first version of "Marry You" I heard, and I don't. I'm not sure if I completely agree with you, but I do know that Bruno Mars is a songwriter first and foremost before he is a performer. But this song definitely feels like Glee was the original, and then Bruno Mars like did it afterwards.
Well, let's take a listen to "Marry You" here. This is my number two, and Ed's number four.
Just say yeah, 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 and we'll go, go,
Now, Ed, did you have a conflict between Marry You and Just the Way You Are?
No, because in my opinion, I hate the Just the Way You Are by Glee.
Oh, like, really?
With a passion. Like, whoa. I literally have never listened to it in full because I do not like it.
Oh my gosh.
I do not listen to it in full. I'm like, oh, skip. Ugh. Finn's vocals are just too weak on it. I don't know. I just can't handle it. I just can't handle it.
Wow. Well, Ed, you and Jennifer both have the same number two. And Jennifer, would you like to tell us a little bit about that number two?
Oh, I feel pretty unpretty Quinn and Rachel. I just thought it was an incredible song, and it was such an interesting episode with everything that was going on between Finn and Rachel and Quinn. And I don't know that they'd done another duet before.
I don't know.
That was their first duet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was a great moment, a great part of that story arc, and I thought it was great.
Ed, do you want to say why this was your number two as well?
Well, like all the other ones in my top five, and especially top five, top six, they'd all be storyline relevant, and then once they got into storyline relevant within that cast system, I had to figure out which ones were the most original. And this mashup, unlike the Umbrella, is raining, Dancing in the Rain, unlike that one, which is a completely lazy mashup of those two songs, and I can't stand it, because I'm like, you just put these two together without being concerned about anything else, you didn't concern yourself with the lyrics connecting, you concern yourself with the tempo connecting, you concern yourself with the vibe connecting, which is like copy paste. This one, the exact opposite. They made the songs, the two songs vibe together in this nice acoustic guitar thing, and it was original and exciting, and it wasn't over the top. It was just right.
I totally agree. I'm looking at my list going like, why the heck is this not in my top five? Yeah. I think I was just rebelling. This is an outstanding song, and this is what mashups can be, I think, in a lot of ways. It brings a new tone to both songs. It generates a commentary. It makes both songs better by being together. It manages to create something new. And I think that's really fantastic. I don't know that I ever want to see, you know, Leonard Bernstein, Stephen Sondheim, and TLC in the same room again. But I think it really worked in this case. And it was an incredibly touching moment in the show.
Yeah.
Really powerful.
Well,
so,
it felt honest and ish, like honest enough. And it had a sincere message. Like,
exactly.
Like of every every song on the Born This Way episode about acceptance, this is the one that actually took me there to like accepting and like actually,
totally. Well, let's go ahead and this is I Feel Pretty and Unpretty with Lea Michele and Diana Agron.
I wish I could tie you up in my shoes, make you feel unpretty too. I was told I was beautiful, but what does that mean to you? Look into the mirror, who's inside there? The one with the long hair. Same old me again today. My outsides are cool, my insides are blue. Every time I think I'm through, it's because of you. I've tried different ways, but it's all the same. At the end of the day,
now, we actually all have a different number one, and none of us have the same number one as the collective listener score. So this is going to be interesting. Ed, you want to tell us a little bit about your number one?
My number one is Get It Right. Only because it, well, A, original, B, storyline relevant, C, interesting, and more successful to me than any of the other original songs this season. And a lot of people have really connected with the song. Like, people who I know who are adamant anti-Glee fans, like, they are against Glee. I see them Facebook/tweeting about Get It Right and how it, like, is a touching song and how the lyrics are meaningful. And the lyrics are strong, and unlike Pretending, which could have had that potential, same potential with Finn, it doesn't have a tragic tragic melody like that. Oh my god, that the melody on Pretending makes me
it's
cringe.
Horrible.
And Get It Right, it's a real sincere moment. So
now, do you think it got extra points for you? Did it get extra points because it was original, or was that just, you know, part of
it? Because in the end, when I had my top five songs or top six songs that were all storyline relevant, the next tier was separating them into non-original versus original, and obviously the original song is going to be the most original.
True. Well, here's Get It Right, Ed's number one pick, his favorite song from season two.
I wish I could run away from this ship going under, just trying to help hurt everyone else. Now I feel the weight of the world is on my shoulders. What can you do when you're good isn't good enough? And all that you touch tumbles down. 'Cause my best intentions keep making a mess of things. I just wanna fix it somehow. But how many times will it take? Or how many times will it take for me to get it right? Get it right.
Jennifer, would you like to share with us your number one favorite song of season two?
My number one pick.
That's a good point.
Yeah, my number one pick is, excuse me, Empire State of Mind by New Directions. And for me, this, because we were teased with it at the end of season one, and, you know, it kicked off the season in such a fun, exciting way. And it gave me so much hope and, you know, promised so much for just an incredible season.
When those first previews came out and this song was in it, like Goosebump City, you were just ready for the show to come back.
Yeah. And the song is completely addictive, you know, even in its original version. And it's one of those songs that you just can't get out of your head. And yeah, it's just every time I would hear it, I'd get so excited about season two. So that is my season two pick.
Well, here's a bit number of one. Empire State of Mind is performed by the Glee cast. Jennifer's number one pick for season two.
Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos, right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash box, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen, look at Simmons with them pastries. Cruising down 8th Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Ty Ty, still sipping my ties. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets, give me high five. Jigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I'm most definitely from.
Well, I'm a little surprised that we've gotten all the way to my number one. And what have we not heard yet, guys? Ed?
I mean, there's one song that I was particularly upset that I didn't get into my top 25. And I'm hoping it's your number one.
Well, Ed, what's your song?
Oh, my song was Science Fiction Double Feature.
No. Jennifer, okay,
I was optimistic.
What have we not heard yet?
Chody Mouth?
No, we have yet to hear the Warblers in any of our top fives.
Oh.
But we just, they were discussed. They weren't forgotten.
Yeah.
Well, my number one is When I Get You Alone, performed in The Gap.
Wow.
I don't know why, but this was the one that, like, this made me go buy a record. Like, this made me believe, okay? I don't know what it was, but this one just got to me.
Center, and that's what made it so great.
It was great. It was left to center. This was when the Warblers crossed over from like, oh, they'll be fun to have around occasionally, to I could watch a Warbler show, you know? And it was when I kind of went, okay, I understand why they're giving so much time to Darren Criss. He really is that great. And I kind of hate giving my number one song of the season to someone who's not a core cast member. But this one just stuck with me. So my number one for season two is When I Get You Alone by Darren Criss and the Warblers. So does she want me to buy her thing? On my house, on my job, on my loop, shoes, my shirt, my crew, my mind, my father's last name. When I get you alone, when I get you, you'll know, babe. When I get you alone, when I get you alone. That makes you my equivalent. You can keep your toys in the drawer tonight. Alright, all my dogs talking fast. Ain't you got some photographs? Cause you shook that room like a star now. Yes, you did, yes, you did. All these intrusions. I love the sample too. Well, that's our top fives. And that's how we put it out to the listeners. And this is what I did. I took all the listeners' top fives and I put them in a spreadsheet. And I scored them, you know, your number one got 5 points, your number two got 4 points, and so on. Added all the points together. And I didn't think we wouldn't have enough time to go through everybody's top fives. But we can get a sum total of everyone's top fives. So at number five, or I'm sorry, yes, at number five, the listener's top five with 32 points, which let me just tell you now, top five has 32 points. Number one has twice as many points.
Wow. Okay.
Number five, Rolling in the Deep with 32 points.
Nice.
The listeners really seem to like Rolling in the Deep. Everybody loved the arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people mentioned the arrangement. A lot of people mentioned having Jesse back. Ooh. And I think that, you know, for the reading everybody's emails, this really seemed like the Lea Michele moment that people liked in this season. I was actually really surprised, Ed, not to see this one in your top five.
I gave it the credit where it was due. I mean, it was good, but was it that good? I still put it number 12. I think some of my issues with it is that it's almost a complete ripoff of the John Legend version, and I've heard this song so many times. So, but that doesn't say that's a bad thing. It wasn't as original or left to center as I would like the top six songs. Literally, the top six songs. I didn't even know these songs before Glee.
Ah,
well, with the exception of Valerie, but five of six, so I want to be surprised, and I wasn't surprised by this. This was, like, the second I heard that that Holly Holiday was going to do an Adele song, my first instinct was Rolling in the Deep, and then she did Turning Tables. And then in my head, I was like, okay, they're going to do that song eventually. Like, it was just, then it happened, and I was like, okay, it was great. Whatever.
at number four, the listeners with 35 points, I'll add it up, was Thriller, Heads Will Roll. And that one was, I think people just really liked that number. That dance number seemed to resonate with a lot of people. And Thriller, Heads Will Roll, I was surprised, 35 points. So just a narrow margin above number five. But with even a narrower margin at number three, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Wow.
Lots of people brought in I Want to Hold Your Hand. If honestly, I think the reason that I Want to Hold Your Hand did so well points-wise is the people that had it on their list had it at number one, and it added up very quickly. It was like the people that loved that one loved it a lot. And again, I don't know. I think at the time I thought it was really sweet and unique. And then I remember that it was the version from Across the Universe. And I don't know, for some reason that kind of took a little of the flair out of it.
It was less original because of that.
Not that it was less original. It was just, for some reason it didn't stay with me as much as I would have liked. But I don't know. I was surprised that none of us had it in our top fives.
I had it at six, didn't I?
You did. You had it at number six. And then a huge leap from number three to number two, the listeners, at going from 36 points to I Want to Hold Your Hand to 46 points for Teenage Dream.
Nice.
People were crazy about Teenage Dream and the Warblers. And, you know, the Teenage Dream was, it was the first Warblers number. It's when we really realized, you know, what they had to do. And how do you place the Teenage Dream that the Warblers performed against the Katy Perry Teenage Dream?
I feel like they're so different in such a way that you don't have to worry about when I want to hear that song, I either want to hear the Katy Perry version or I want to hear the Blaine and the Warblers version. Like they're very different.
Yeah.
And your eyes, which one do I prefer? Katy Perry did write it. So I mean, there is that.
And then at number one, far and away with 63 points, was Pretty Unpretty.
Wow.
The listeners loved Pretty Unpretty. It was number one song for people. I would say, gosh, probably two out of three people had it on their list somewhere.
Well, it's a sincere, nice moment. So,
It was a truly heartfelt moment. Mm-hmm. I think that it was just one of those things that, you know, even when I tried to think of a top five, even though it didn't make my top five, when I tried to think of a top five, it was one of the first things that popped into my head was that moment. I think that it was just so memorable in the show.
Yeah.
Other big things that came up, real quick, I guess the top 10 would have been at number six for the listeners, they had Get It Right, and followed immediately by Loser Like Me. Valerie, and at number seven, Marry You at number eight, and number 10, which was very close to getting even higher in the top five because the distance between 10 and five is pretty short, was Happy Days Are Here Again. A lot of people emailing in loving Happy Days Are Here Again, that mashup with I Feel Happy. What was the other one? No. Anyway,
Get Happy.
Yeah. Thank you. Get Happy. And on down the line, you know, there were a lot of songs that I was surprised. People having a lot of Christmas songs on their top fives. I was surprised to see a lot of Christmas songs. A lot of people coming in with Pure Imagination. You know, Pure Imagination, everybody, when it was on people's lists, it was on their slot number five. But it was definitely there.
By the time Pure Imagination came around, it wasn't a big enough moment for me to feel that it was I think it made my top 40 or so, but I had zero Christmas songs in my top 100. Like I had zero. Like I went through the thing and I was like, nothing. I'm done with the Christmas episode. I'm taking nothing from this.
Yeah, it was kind of like it didn't. There were parts of the, you know, the Christmas episode and the funeral episode that, you know, I was like, yeah, it kind of moved me, but it didn't. You know, rock me. It didn't really kind of, you know, shatter me in any particular way. So, yeah, I didn't have any strong connection with either of those.
I think the thing about the Christmas episode is that I liked the music of the show so much more than I liked the episode itself.
Yeah.
The Christmas episode had some really nice moments. It didn't really hold together that much, but the Glee Christmas record, I think, will, you know, that'll get listened to more than once in the Berlin household. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. Trouty Mouth did very well with the listeners. Trouty Mouth ranked ahead of, quite a few things with a full 14 points. And then I was surprised how many people had Sing by My Chemical Romance. People didn't rank it very highly.
It was truly one of the best group numbers. That's why...
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
That's why it had to be in my top 25. Like, I was questioning myself, but like, whenever I question myself, I'm like, no, you have to go with your instincts. And this, and it was really one of the more exciting group numbers. It was a little bit left of field, and they brought it in. Like, I've heard the song on the radio, and I'd like to think, in part, it's because of the Glee version, because Glee was so commercial, and not to say that the original version wasn't very, but it's a little bit skew, and it had to be like brought into public attention. So, and like MCR hasn't had a legit radio hit in a while, so I'm glad for them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, as long as people are listening to MCR, I think that's a good thing for the world. Well, that's about all I have for this one, guys. Do you have any final notes on your favorite songs of season two? Anything? Any surprises?
Well, for me, and you even touched on this, was just how great the music was this season. And, you know, looking through the list, yeah, you know, there was just so much great music, and there were so many great performances. And sure, maybe we got a little disenchanted with some of the storylines and how things were playing out toward the end of the season, but you know, it all comes down to the music, and that's just fantastic.
Yeah, we really, this season, we got new levels, you know, new styles, like with the warblers. We got deeper cuts as well as brand new, you know, hotly dropped tracks, whatever, however you want to put that. So I think that, you know, yeah, as much as we complain about the plots themselves, the music really nailed it for me this season. And getting things like, you know, you could do any Michael Jackson song, but to do PYT, I'm like, that's a great deep cut to pull. I think, you know, that they're still trying is fantastic. Ed, any last thoughts about the music in season two?
Much like the list I did for American Idol, I had to control myself with my Santana Haley obsessions. I was like, I was extra hard on those two choices because I was like, you really have to prove to me that you deserve to be here because I do like you so much. So that was like a conscious thing. I was like, okay, you have to control yourself. Just because you love them doesn't mean they're that great. And then the three songs that I most wanted to put in my top 25, but for whatever reason just got lost in the shuffle, was Science Fiction Double Feature, only because I listened to it so much on iTunes. Holly Holidays, Do You Want to Touch Me, just because it's so fun, and Tina Cohen Chang, because it's I Follow Rivers, which we opened the show with. Yeah. Just because it was, I never heard the song, and it got me into Likely Lee. So, mm-hmm. And anything in Glee that does that, I think is worthy of noting. So,
yeah, that is, that Glee can turn you on to music you'd never heard of, especially a generation that hasn't heard of a lot of this stuff. That's fantastic. I mean, that's a service performed in a big way. We're going to go out now. If you would like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out the website, which is at gleefulpodcast.com. On Twitter, we're at gleefulpodcast. I'm at High Tech Elvis. She's at Jenny B. Creative. Ed is at Edward Giordano. We also have a Facebook fan page, too. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter, and you'll find out when we're doing the shows, and you can listen live. Want to say hi to everybody who is listening live right now. Super cool that we have so many people that take time out of their day to give a crap about us. I know Jared asked for a shout out, so yay, Jared.
Do we want to put out something about what we're doing next week? Not that I know what we're doing next week, but we should put that out there so we can get some feedback on that.
I don't know what we're doing next week. What are we doing next week?
Well, people have been talking about least successful songs. We could do that. Least successful songs of the season.
Jennifer, least successful songs?
Interesting.
We can talk about it.
Yeah, let's think about it.
Let's put it on the table.
I'm sure we can come up with stuff.
Definitely. You know, I mean, it was so fun looking at the positives this week. I'm like, oh, I don't want to look at the negatives.
Now we're on emotional high. Now let's bring this party down.
Back to reality. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah, right to reality. Well, we'll find something definitely to talk about here. Quixote Cat.
Good name.
Which is an awesome name. As for shout out. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed. Peace out. Om Glee Jeff.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And you, Panto Amin.
Corporation Progress.